Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. One of the most dangerous places in the world suffered its worst tragedy late last week. An avalanche on Mount Everest on a climbing route for the world's highest peak killed at least 13 Nepalese guides. The Sherpa guides were working at just under 21,000 feet, fixing ropes and preparing the path for climbers ahead of peak mountaineering season. Joining me now is Ellen Berry, South Asia Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Ellen, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
In many ways, the Sherpas rely on the mountain climbing industry because this is a way of life there, but they work under extraordinarily difficult and dangerous conditions. And that's what this accident says almost more than anything else.
That's right. They've obviously lived with these conditions for many years, but I think just the magnitude of the loss of life from Friday's accident has prompted very unusual decisions from a group of Sherpas who met last night at the base camp and essentially voted to propose a work stoppage that could conceivably end the expedition, all the expeditions for 2014.
How dependent are mountain climbers on the Sherpas, and how far back does that dependence go?
It goes back as far as Sir Edmund Hillary, so the better part of a century. Sherpas have served as guides, but increasingly they serve perhaps more as workhorses carrying gear from the base camp up to the camps up the mountain. So I think the vast majority of those Sherpas working on the mountain this season are carrying loads or fixing lines, and the Sherpas who died on Friday were carrying loads.
Would you say that this constitutes a move to unionize the Sherpas on some level, or have they always been organized on some level, even going back to some celebrated disasters and fatalities in the past two decades?
I have the sense that this is part of a negotiation with the Nepali government on issues of compensation and insurance and how to distribute the profits that the government makes off expeditions, which are, as you know, multi-million dollar affairs every year. And some Sherpa organizations have made specific demands for hiking the level of compensation to a little bit more than double what the government is offering now. But it's obviously a very powerful emotional moment. And one thing that is very telling is that some of the big international expeditions, including the Discovery Channel expedition and several other very large outfits, have put out announcements saying they're canceling their expeditions. And the sunk costs, economic and psychological, involved in canceling an expedition are really quite staggering.
Finally, is there any sense that the mountain, because of climate changes or just different kinds of weather patterns, has become a more dangerous place on some level, more prone to these kinds of events?
I think what you hear is that places like the icefall that these Sherpas were crossing are really the most dangerous parts of the mountain, and the Sherpas cross it many, many times. And one of their functions is to secure it. Everyone who crosses that area tries to do it as fast as possible. On this occasion, we were told by a survivor yesterday, there were a couple broken ladders. So you had a backup, basically a traffic jam, and they just couldn't get through that very dangerous place fast enough. So I think, one thing that you could talk about is how to make these passages safer for the Sherpas who spend much more time there than the international clients. But, most people regard an avalanche as bad luck, and I've heard that from many people as well.
Ellen Berry, South Asia Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, speaking to us from Delhi about the tragedy on Mount Everest. Ellen, thanks so much.
Thank you.